Now we'll go to the first chapter. If you don't have the Bhagavad Gita with you, it's not in the printed paper. You can look it up on your phone, chapter 1. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1. We'll start with the first shloka. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. अथ प्रथमोऽध्यायः अर्जुन विषाद योगः धृतराष्ट्र उवाच धर्मक्षेत्रे कुरुक्षेत्रे समवेतायुयुत्सवः मामकाः पाण्डवाश्चैव किमकुर्वत सञ्जय. विल् ऑल् चैंट टुगेदर. धृतराष्ट्र उवाच धर्मक्षेत्रे कुरुक्षेत्रे समवेतायुयुत्सवः मामकाः पाण्डवाश्चैव किमकुर्वत सञ्जय. सो धृतराष्ट्र उवाच. धृतराष्ट्र वॉज द फादर ऑफ द कौरवस. एज यू नो इन द महाभारत देयर वर टू कजन्स, फैमिली ऑफ कजन्स. Dhritarashtra was father of 100 Kauravas, and his younger brother Pandu was the father of the 5 Pandavas. So there were 5 Pandavas who were good and 100 Kauravas who were evil. So here Dhritarashtra is the father of the Kauravas. So Dhritarashtra uvach, he spoke. Now to whom did he speak? He spoke to Sanjay. Just to give you a little background, the battle of this Mahabharat battle was fought in the battle place called Kurukshetra, which is near Delhi. Kurukshetra is few miles outside Delhi. And the king's palace was in Hastinapur. Hastinapur, which was a few miles away. Not too far, but few miles away. Now, Dhritarashtra was blind, but he wanted to see the battle. He wanted to experience what is happening. You know, my 100 sons will be fighting the 5 Pandavas, and each one of them had armies. They had collected the people, kings who were their supporters. And so Vedvyas comes and he tells Dhritarashtra, for this war, I can give you drishti, divya drishti, where even though you are blind, you will be able to see what is happening in the battlefield. Not only see, but experience the emotions and thoughts of all the warriors. So Dhritarashtra was afraid because he knew that his 100 brothers were evil. They had done wrong. And he knew that Bhagavan Sri Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas. And he was afraid that his sons may not win the battle. They may get killed. So he said, I can't see it. I can't see the death of my 100 sons. So then he says, give this drishti to Sanjay. Sanjay was his advisor, who was always with him. And so Vedvyasji gives Divya drishti to Sanjay. And Sanjay is sitting with Dhritarashtra and telling him what is happening in the war several miles away. It was like 18 or 20 miles away. But he could see that, and he could go into the minds of all the people, what they are thinking. So that, even their emotions, all that. So Dhritarashtra is talking to Sanjay, his advisor. And he says, Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre. Dharma Kshetre means the land of Dharma, which is also Kurukshetra. Now that land of Dharma is becoming Kurukshetra, the land of the battle, where battle will be fought in this huge maidan. And what has happened is there, Samaveta Yuyutsavaha. Samaveta means they have collected. The warriors have collected. Yuyutsavaha means to fight the battle. So for this battle, the Pandavas and the Kauravas have assembled all, not only that, but all the kings of that time, all of them either chose to fight on the battle of Pandavas and Kauravas. It was a huge battle involving, you know, pretty much the whole part of India. And then he says, Mama Kaha Pandavaha. So he says, my children and Pandavas. So means he already distinguishes, even though he was the king of the entire kingdom, all of them should be his subjects, his children. But because he was the older brother of Pandu, Pandu had died, had passed away, so he became the king. First, Pandu was made the king because Dhritarashtra was blind. You know, blind cannot, in those days, they didn't have facilities for blind. But then when Pandu dies from some illness, then Dhritarashtra becomes the king. So he says, my children and Pandu's children. So he automatically distinguishes my children and these, my brother's children. He doesn't consider them his children. Kim akurvat Sanjaya? Oh, Sanjaya, what did they do? So he wants to know, what did my children do and what did Pandu's children do? So why is he asking Dhritarashtra? So actually they say that before we start a religious or spiritual book, you have to have what is called as Mangal Charana. Mangal Charana means God's name. So they say, where is God's name in Bhagavad Gita? We don't see Krishna, we don't see Ram or Shiva or Mother Saraswati. Where is God's name? So they say, well, the Gita Dhyanam, you know, the 9 shlokas we just chanted, they all have Bhagavan Krishna's name. Yeah, but that was composed, you know, 500-600 years ago. Gita was given 5,000 years ago. Where is God's name there? So we say, oh, we started with Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. That also you added afterwards. Show us where in Bhagavad Gita the God's name is there. So the first word is Dharma Kshetre. Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre. So Dharma is one of God's name. In Vishnu Sahasranama, the 1000 names of Vishnu, there is Dharmo, Dharma, Vidutamaha. So the Bhagwan is Dharma. So what do we mean by Dharma? So people have different ideas. One is Dharma is religion. You know, Hindu Dharma, Islam Dharma, you know, we have all those. Mera dharma, tera dharma, all those. But dharma also means dharayate iti dharma, that which supports society. Because if people stop following dharma, then society will crumble. You say, well, there is, you know, so much conflict and all. But still, the world is maintained because some people are following the rules. If everybody stops following the rules while driving and nobody stops in red light, and you know, then, or everybody speeds 80, 90, then it will be a mess. The traffic will crash. The rules won't function. Same way we have the constitution, the rules of law. So dharma is the rule which sustains society. Dharma also means it is the essence of what the truth is. So what is the dharma of sugar? Sweetness. What is the dharma of salt? You know, salty taste. What is the dharma? What is my true nature? That is Om. So dharma is that essence which is my true nature. So when they say dharma kshetre, so Bhagavad Gita is starting with remembering God. Now, dharma kshetra becomes Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra means where war is fought. So when dharma is not followed, as we can see in the Middle East and whatever, wherever it is happening, because people are not following what is their true dharma, that's why there is war. That's why there is conflict. And that has been there throughout history, between Pandavas and Kauravas, between the Rajputs and Mughals. All along it has been going on. And even now we see Arabs and Israelis and all the different countries that are fighting, you know, Ukraine and Russia, America with Russia, because people are not following their dharma. We had fought wars with Pakistan for the same reason, that when the dharma is not followed, then dharma kshetra becomes Kurukshetra, becomes a area of war. And also our body is also dharma kshetra. It is where we are supposed to perform dharma, do the right thing. But when we don't do the right thing, then we suffer all our agitations, all our mental stress, all that comes when we don't practice. And as we saw, Dhritarashtra was in a mental conflict, even though he knew that my children's army is bigger, but he was afraid. So that's why he wants to know my children and what did the Pandavas' children do. Now let's see what Sanjay answers. What Sanjay does, he tells Dhritarashtra what's going on. So shloka number 2. Sanjaya uvacha drishtva tu pandava nikam yudham duryodhanastada acharya mupasangamya raja vachanam abravit. Together, Sanjaya uvacha drishtva tu pandava nikam vyudham duryodhanastada acharya mupasangamya raja vachanam abravit. So this first chapter is called Arjun Vishad Yoga, means Arjun's grief, Arjuna's sorrow. Why does Arjuna have sorrow? The whole first chapter will explain. But why Arjuna's sorrow becomes part of the Bhagavad Gita? You know, Bhagavad Gita, okay, we understand Bhagavan's Krishna's teachings, which actually start from second chapter. But why is the first chapter placed, which only talks about Arjuna's grief, Arjuna's confusion? Because we know the story of Mahabharata. You know, the Pandavas and Kauravas, they were there. Kauravas cheated them, made them go to the forest for 12 years. First, they tried to disrobe Draupadi. Then they sent them to the forest for 12 years and 1 year in hiding. When they came back, they wanted their kingdom back, which was the pledge, you know, that after you come back, half the kingdom will be given to you. And Duryodhana refused. So that whole story, and that's why it resulted in the war, because he said, not only I will not give you half your kingdom, I will not even give you 5 villages, I will not even give you enough land. Suiki no, even the tip of a needle, how much land is there, I won't give you. If you want land, you're a Kshatriya, fight me for it. I'm not going to give you. So he's the one who challenged them to the war. If he had kept his part of the bargain, given them half the land, there would have been no war. So Pandavas were forced to fight to get their right. And the battle was, as we will see in the Bhagavad Gita, was not for kingdom or for palace, it was for dharma. That's what Bhagavan explains to Arjuna, that you are not fighting for this kingdom, you are fighting for the right. Because if you don't, Kauravas will rule over whole of India and India will become corrupt. Because if the ruler is corrupt, the whole country becomes corrupt, as we have seen in many countries. When the president, prime minister, ministers are dishonest, the country suffers. So the whole of India will be ruled by dishonest people, so they need to be removed. Just as a cancer in the body needs to be cut off. There's a cancer in the leg, you don't cut the leg, it will spread to the whole body and the person will die. So that's what. So Arjuna was in doubt. And because he was in doubt as to why we should fight the war, so the Mahabharata story is connected to the teachings of Bhagwan when Arjuna is in doubt, when he has grief. So when Arjuna has a question, he asks Bhagwan and Bhagwan talks. So similarly, when you and I, when we have doubts about how we should live our life, so they say Bhagavad Gita is a manual of life. So Bhagwan in this teaching has not only spoken to Arjuna, but to all of us, how to live our life based on the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all the Upanishads, all the advanced teachings were summarized by Bhagwan in the 701 verses. So Bhagavad Gita, so the Mahabharata story is connected through chapter 1 to the teachings of Bhagwan. So that is why this is called Arjun Vishad Yoga. So here we see that in shloka number 2, Duryodhan, now Drishtva, Sanjaya Uvacha, Sanjaya spoke. Drishtva means having seen, tu means indeed, Pandava Nikam, the Pandava army having seen, and Vyudham means the formation. You know, the armies used to be arranged in particular formation, like eagle formation, or in a, you know, circle formation. All different formations were used to, and these, all these positions had particular names, and the masters knew how to position the army to make it the best to fight. Sometimes it would be in the shape of an arrow pointing forward. So all different techniques were there, and to counteract one, you had to have counteract other. So here, seeing the Vyudham, seeing the formation, Duryodhana, who was the eldest Kaurava, tada, then Acharyam Upasangamya, Acharya, he approaches Dronacharya, his teacher. Upasangamya means having approached Raja here, Duryodhan. He was, even though he was not the king, he was the oldest Kaurava, and he thought that once my father is gone, then I will be the king of this whole Hastinapur, this whole kingdom. Raja Vachanam, these words, abravit, he spoke. So we see that, we'll see in the next 2-3 shlokas, that his mind was unsettled, Duryodhana, even though his army was much bigger. You know, the Kaurava army was 11 Akshohinis. 11 Akshohini means they were like thousands of soldiers. And Pandavas were 7 Akshohini. So they were much smaller. 7 versus 11. Our Kauravas had more, better arms, better equipment, better, because they were the wealthier one, because they had been running the kingdom. Pandavas had less army, less weapons. Only thing they had was Bhagwan with them. Once they had that, then everything works in their favor. But that's why Duryodhana was worried. Even though his army was bigger, he was not confident about winning. So he goes to Acharya, Dronacharya, and Raja means he already is talking like a king, even though he's not yet king. And Dronacharya is his guru. So when you approach a guru, how do you approach? With humility, with, you know, you first prostrate, bow down, nothing. He goes up and very arrogantly. That's why he says, Vachanam Abravit. Vachanam means the words that he spoke were very arrogant. His words were arrogant. There was no humility in his teachings, only pure arrogance. And Duryodhan has a famous statement, which, you know, applies to a lot of us also. Janami dharma, nacha me pravritti. Janami adharma, nacha me nivritti. So janami means I know dharma. I know what I should do. Nacha me pravritti, but I am not able to do that. I know what I should do, but I am not able to do that. Janami adharma, I know what is adharma, what is wrong, but nacha me nivritti, but I am not able to withdraw from that. And it happens to us also. We know what is right. I mujhe pata hai, but we still can't do it. Why? Because our mind is tempted by something, and maybe some temptation, some, you know, wrong desire thoughts come. And even though I know what I should do, I just cannot do it. You know, like people say, I know I should exercise, but I just can't get up in the morning. Or I know I should diet, but when I see food, you know, I get tempted, or whatever. or I know I should not take a bribe, you know, for people who are in high position. But when the money comes, are aray aane do. So that is what happens. We know what is right, what is law, what is legal, but we are not able to do it. So that is what they say, that janami dharma nacha me pravritti, janami adharma nacha me nivritti. We'll try, we can do one more shloka. We have about 10 minutes. Shloka number 3. So what does he say to Dronacharya? Pashyaitam pandu putranam. Acharya mahatim chamum. Vyudham drupada putrena. Tava shishyena dhimata. Together. Pashyaitam pandu putranam. Acharya mahatim chamum. Vyudham drupada putrena. Tava shishyena dhimata. Pashya. He tells Dronacharya, instead of respectfully, he says, see. You know, that is his tone. Dekho, dekho, kya ho raha. Pashya etam, watch this. What is this? Pandu putranam, Pandu's children. Acharya, oh Dronacharya, see. Mahatim chamum, look at the great army. His own army is bigger, but he is worried about the Pandava's army, which is 50% almost smaller. Pashyetam, look at this army of the Pandavas. Why is he telling his guru? Is Dronacharya taught him how to hold bow and arrow and gada, mace in his hand. And he's telling him, look at the army. Dronacharya has already seen and analyzed the whole situation. He was the teacher of Pandavas and Kauravas. So it's like you go to your physics professor and you are a, you know, some, you know, college student, like a bachelor, you know, doing bachelor's or something. And you say, oh, look at these laws of physics. He has already studied the laws of physics 30 years ago. You don't need to teach him, you know. So same way here, he's trying to teach his guru. He's telling him, Pashya. And he says, look at the great army. Vyudham Drupada Putrena, and look at their formation, which has been set up by who? Drupada Putra, Drishtadyumna, who was the son of Drupad. We'll talk about that. And Tava Shishena, and he was your disciple. So he's already criticizing his guru that you have taught the Pandavas, you have taught Drupad's son, and it is because of you that we are facing problems. Dronacharya says, it's not because of me that we are facing problems. But anyway, he starts by blaming his guru. So first he says, Pashya, that is very rude. You know, look at it. And then he says, Pandu Putras. Pandu Putras means the son of Pandu, the Pandavas. You know, Yudhishthir, Bhim, Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev. And he knew that they were the better students. Five Pandavas were good students and the Kauravas were average, you know, or below average. And obviously a teacher likes good students. So he knew that Dronacharya likes the Pandavas more than us, but he's fighting on our side because he stayed in my palace for 13 years. Namak khaya hai. So he has to fight for us, but he says inside he has a soft corner for especially Arjuna. Pandavas, and among Pandavas, Arjuna was his favorite student because he was the best warrior. So he says, you have a soft corner for them. And also it is your fault that because the commander of the Pandava army was Drishtadyumna. Drishtadyumna was the son of Drupad. And Drupad was the father of Draupadi and Drishtadyumna. Draupadi and Drishtadyumna. Draupadi, we know, she married the five Pandavas. Now, who was Drishtadyumna, who was the commander of the Pandavas? He was the brother-in-law of the Pandavas, their wife's brother, but he was the commander. So there is a story. I'll end with that story today. So what happened was Dronacharya and Drupad, they were both studying, you know, they study in Gurukul and they were studying together. They were friends. And as friends happened, you know, they became best of buddies. And Drupad was a king's son, and Dronacharya was a, just a Brahmin son, but not wealthy. You know, his father was Brahmin. And Drupad was the king's son. So as they, you know, in friends, how they talk, you know, I'll do this for you, I'll do that for you. So Drupad tells Dronacharya that when I become king, you come to me, I'll give you half my kingdom. You know, maybe Dronacharya had done some favor or was nice to him. So he, you know, and in childhood, we make promises, but maybe, you know, he didn't know what he was promising. So he made the promise. And so they finished their studies in Gurukul, and Dronacharya goes to his father's house and starts his Brahmin duties, whatever, and Drupad becomes king. Now, Dronacharya, it so happened that he became very poor because his father was not wealthy, he was not much money, and he couldn't really maintain his family. He had a son, you know, Ashwatthama, and the boy was little. He was only maybe a couple of years old, and he was crying for milk. And he had no money even to buy milk for his child. Dronacharya was that poor. So suddenly he remembered, you know, just like Sudama goes to Krishna. So suddenly he remembered, are my friend Drupad had told me, I'll give you half my kingdom. Okay, I don't want half my kingdom, but at least he'll give me a few cows. You know, cows were wealth in those days. He'll give me cows and I can at least take care of my family, sell the milk and give milk to my child. So he goes to Drupad and he says, you know, oh, Drupad, you recognize me? So he says, yeah, I've seen you before. You know, Drupad is acting very cold. So he says, you know, you promised me half a kingdom. I'm not looking for half a kingdom, but at least, you know, give me some cows to take care of my family. And you were my friend. So Drupad says, look, I don't recognize you as my friend. Maybe bachpan mein we might have seen, but I don't consider you my friend. If you really want some charity, I'll give you a few cows you can take. You know, very condescendingly he talks that you can take the cows, but I don't consider you my friend or my equal, and I'm not going to give you definitely half my kingdom. So Drupad was rude. So Dronacharya got very upset. He said, you know, he was a man of great wisdom, and also he knew how to fight the war, even though he was Brahman. So he says, okay, you insulted me like that, I'm not going to take the cows. So he leaves without taking cows. He goes to Hastinapur, and there Bhishma was, you know, the grandfather of the Pandavas and Kauravas, and he asks him, do you need a teacher? So Bhishma says, yes, these Pandavas and Kauravas are growing up, I need a teacher. So Dronacharya teaches them all the war and how to fight and how to shoot arrows, everything about war. Then as a Guru Dakshina, you know, after you have studied, you have to give Guru Dakshina to that Guru. So he tells the Kauravas, as Guru Dakshina, I want you to go and capture Drupad and bring him to me because he insulted me. So the Kauravas go and they couldn't defeat Drupad. They were not that strong, you know, even though they were more in number. So Drona knew it is not their cup of tea, but he wanted them to try. Then he sends the Pandavas, five brothers, okay, you go capture Drupad and bring him to me. And they go and defeat the entire Drupad's army, capture Drupad and tie him and bring him in front of Dronacharya. So Dronacharya says, look, you insulted me. Now I can take your whole kingdom because you are my prisoner, but I'm not going to do that. You can leave. He tells them, release him, but I want you to know that you should keep your word. And even though you insulted me, I will not, you know, punish you. Drupad gets even more upset because he was tied with a rope brought in front of him as the king. So he does a lot of yajna, a lot of prayers, and he calls his pandits to do a special yajna, which is called Putra Eshti Yajna. You can get a child of what you want. So in that yajna, he asks for a daughter and a son. And so the daughter was Draupadi, who marries the Pandavas, and the son was Drishtadyumna. And the son was created in the part of the yajna that he is going to kill Dronacharya. So the purpose of Drishtadyumna's birth was to kill Dronacharya. That was what he asked in the yajna. And they said, if the in the olden days, if yajnas were done properly, whatever you asked for, you got. So Drishtadyumna was growing up with the idea that he has to kill Dronacharya and take revenge. Now Drishtadyumna needed to learn about war. So Drupad sends him to Dronacharya. He says, go there and learn from him. And, you know, Dronacharya knew that this boy is going to be the cause of my death, but he was so noble. He said, doesn't matter. I will still teach him whatever I know. So he taught him the art of war, and Drishtadyumna goes back and becomes a great warrior. So Duryodhan is mocking and teasing, and not mocking, but criticizing and his guru, that you, even knowing he was going to kill you, you still taught him, you know, kind of the what, how foolishly you acted and what wrong you did. So here we see that Duryodhana has no respect for his guru. He actually insults him and then points out to him that because of your fault, we are suffering. So that is where we end here today, that we see that the stage has been set. You know, Pandavas on one side, Kauravas, Arjun and Bhagwan have not arrived yet. They will be arriving in a few shlokas in the first chapter. So we'll end here, where we see that we did the Gita Dhyanam and the first three shlokas of the first chapter, which tell us about the whole battle scene. And then we will see why Arjuna gets confused slowly in the next few weeks. The first chapter, we'll move a little faster through the first chapter because there is not that much teaching. I spent most of the time in the ninth shloka today of the Gita Dhyanam, which was important. So we'll end here. Any questions, any comments anybody has, if you can put it on Zoom, please. So even either in person or in Zoom, if anybody has any questions about what we spoke or even anything else, not necessarily what we spoke today, we'll be happy to discuss. We have quite a few people on Zoom also and in the audience. So anybody has any questions, comments, either about this or any other topic, whatever, if I can answer, I'll try to answer, related to spirituality. Yes.
So Anji, you've said that God is everywhere.
Right.
Outside, within ourselves.
Right.
Do we understand the purpose of why the God would send a part of himself, or, you know, be a fully part of the God, and then have us go through this journey of where you're trying to learn what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do? I mean, is it just for setting a stage for his own enjoyment, or what is it about?
No, yeah, people ask, why did God create the world, and why is there so much misery if God is everywhere? That is the second part of your question, right? So first of all, God, you know, created the world because he could. If you have an ability, it's like somebody has an ability to sing, he will even sing in the bathroom. You know, he can, oh, he will start singing in the bathroom. So he had the ability. So he said, I am one, let me become many. So that was the purpose of the creation, that, you know, he had the ability. He said, let me create this beautiful world. So he created this beautiful world, which is actually perfect. Actually, if you look at it, all the planets are in place, all the laws of physics, chemistry, biology, everything is in place. Animals, birds, plants, fish, all follow laws. They don't do what they wish. You know, a tiger will do only eat whatever deer he, when he's hungry. Otherwise, he won't. Not like us. You know, we keep eating or we keep accumulating wealth. So a bird will fly, a fish will swim. They do what they want. The fish will not get out of water. Bird will not enter water. So the whole plants will grow according to the rules. So the whole universe follows the rules. Then what he did, he created human. And he said humans are in, they are, what they say, my reflection. You know, that's what they said. Now he created man in his own image. Bible says he created man. So man is the closest to God. All the animals, birds, plants, fish follow the rules. Animals were the body was given, but they were given a mind and intellect, mind for emotions, intellect to think. And because of their good and bad thoughts, they created good and bad vasanas. So he did not put any wrong vasanas, good or bad vasanas. He creates, why this is, no? Adam and Eve were created first. And they were told what to do, and they didn't follow it. They didn't, you know, follow the law. So same way they talk about Manu and, you know, and Shatrupa. And then they talk about Abel and Cain, you know, the children of Adam and Eve. When Abel killed Cain, or Cain killed Abel, one killed the other. Huh? Yeah, Cain killed Abel. So right from the first children, they started one killing the other. So what he did, Bhagwan, gave humans, what he call as, you know, the ability to think. And he said, use your brain and then do as you wish. Humans were not commanded. A tiger was commanded, a lion was commanded, elephant, plants, you know, fish, they all follow God's rules. Humans were given freedom to choose. He said, let me see what they choose. And he created, but then he gave the laws of dharma, you know, that if you, whatever you do, that karma you do, that you will get the result. So he created the laws, gave humans the wisdom to think, and then he sent his own messengers. He sent all these great Mahatmas and saints to teach us. Jesus was the son of God. Buddha was enlightened. You know, Shankaracharya ji is an avatar of Bhagwan, Shiva, Shankara. So all these great masters came, Ramakrishna, Paramhans, Vivekananda, Swami, Chinmayananda, all these great masters were sent to give us the knowledge. And he himself came as Sri Krishna, came as Sri Rama to give us the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. So if we don't follow what is our dharma and what our teachings are from God, and then we suffer, then whom do we blame? We blame him. You know, why is there so much suffering? Why is there war between Arab and Israelis? He didn't ask them to fight. You know, they said, oh, these are my enemies. They don't belong. So humans were given the ability to think. And that was, you know, and we are all have that. We are all have God within us. We all have. So the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to tell us how to think correctly, go beyond our vasanas and reach Om, reach God. So that is the purpose of that. I am one, let me become many. And he created this beautiful. Abhita, we only know this earth. There are so many planets where there might be life. There may be, you know, creatures that look different from us. You look at, they have so many moons and so many rings and, you know, the dark holes. And there's so much in astronomy and cosmos. So why did he create? I think it was, you know, for his own, but it's not for his own enjoyment because he had the ability to create.
He's the master, right? So he's controlling, he's setting the rules.
Right.
Okay, for everything else other than humans, I'm giving them instructions.
Right.
No power to change things.
Right.
For humans, I'm going to just experiment.
Right.
I'm going to let them do what they are, determine their vasanas.
Right.
And then be responsible for it. But at the end, I mean, you could reason that it's not really the humans, you know, the humans. It is the Supreme Consciousness. If this is what has happened, they have created and given the ability to humans. It's not humans who have done it. It's the nature of the creation of the humans which has led to this.
No. See, he gave humans the ability to do it and then gave them the freedom. It's like you have two children, right? And say you have $1 million. And in your will, you put $500,000 for each child or 100,000 for whatever your wealth is, 100,000 for each child, and you are gone. Or you say, okay, you can tell them, okay, I'm giving you 100,000 each. You are still there. You are the master of the house, but you're giving each child 100,000 of your money to start a business. Now, one child starts a business, does very well, works hard. We all heard the story, you know, ek bachche ne bada accha kiya. He did very well. He made his business from 100,000 to $500,000. Other guy got involved in drugs and alcohol and all these bad habits. And then he wasted the 100,000. Now, whose fault? Is it your fault or their fault?
Well, it you know, the story, as true it is,
Right.
and it happens all the time, right? The assumption that there was any control the father had in giving the money, in determining the destiny, is not true, because he had no control.
No, but neither
he
does,
gave the, you
right.
know, but here we are saying that the Supreme Consciousness has all the control. It created everything, created us, and controls when we are taken out of this life. I think the comparison is not the same.
Right. But it is kind of, because he does not give us, he has given us freedom to choose what we do with our life. He does not interfere. God does not, even though he is the master or is the control, he does not interfere. Has God ever come and told you to become a doctor and not to become an engineer? No. It is your own desire, maybe your parents' ideas. Same way, what to do with our abilities, what to do with our money, with our abilities. Some people become great musicians, some people become great scholars, become their great scientists, and others, you know, are homeless, they are wandering the streets, drinking drugs and all. So humans have been given the freedom, and I think it's fun, you know, live this life according to God's rules, and then make the life the best you can. Yeah, Hansa has, we have very little time, maybe 1 minute.
One minute.
Yeah.
I think he gave us the freedom. At the same time, he also gave us the dharma.
Yes.
That we did follow.
Right.
That's why we get into this trouble.
Trouble, right.
So
very good
the
point.
The idea of reading Gita is to find their dharma.
Right.
So that's what the...
Absolutely.
So if we follow the dharma that he gave us,
right,
we probably won't go astray and community will be happy.
Right. So Ansa said he gave us the life, but he also gave a dharma, which he has explained in the Bhagavad Gita, the first word. Yes.
I think choice is very powerful to that's been given, and more we acquire as far as intellectual abilities, the power even gets exponentially bigger.
Right.
So it's a lack of in the beginning, the lack of not knowing what we should know, and not practicing that choice.
Right.
That's why it's not fun. Once you have those tools, it's become fun, like you said.
Right. Life becomes fun. So as he says, we had the tools, we have the abilities, but we don't follow them correctly. We don't follow dharma. And so if we don't follow dharma, don't follow our right knowledge, which comes from the scriptures in the intellect, then we suffer the consequences. Here also, you know, if you don't follow the rules and you drive 80 miles or 100 miles an hour, you can hurt yourself, hurt somebody else, get a ticket. You know the rule, but if you don't follow it. So same with dharma, if we don't follow, we suffer the consequences.
So it's a game that is being played. I mean, I'm following my dharma, but the other people around don't. So that also causes a
right.
game to be played.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Because I follow dharma, but somebody else, that is the rule for place for conflict. But thank you for a very good question. We had a lot of discussion. Maybe next week, actually next 2 weeks, there will not be a Gita class because it's Christmas and New Year. We'll meet on January 7th. But if you can, the first chapter, you can try to read. We also have all the 18 chapter in the office. Each one has a word by word meaning, 18 volumes. So you can buy that and start reading, and we'll see you in 3 weeks. So have a happy holiday season and a spiritually enlightened new year. Maybe in our new year, get enlightenment. So we'll end with the closing. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi.